basketball tools. Oh, baby, ooh. Yes, I'm the victim of the basketball tools. Ever since I was a little baby.
An old wise man by the name of Keith Hatfield once told me, playing these games on the road around exam time, this time of the year, not good. Not good. Tennessee tonight, down 17 at one point. Fought back into this game, cut that thing to 5 with about 8.5 to go. Tennessee does not quit. You take on the Tennessee Volunteers this year, you're getting 40 minutes out of them. Now, it may not be 40 beautiful minutes, but it's going to be 40 minutes nonetheless. Donnie Tindall, not afraid to make adjustments. He did that tonight, deftly. Bottom line, NC State, in that environment tonight, hit some serious, serious shots. And on a night like tonight, Tennessee goes down to defeat, you tip your cap to your opponent. That's what we do here. And we do it honestly. Tennessee falls tonight, 83-72. Falls fall to 4-4 on the year, with several winnable games in front of them now, leading up to a game on Jan 7 with Mississippi State. And once this team gets in the league play, it'll be fun. As we welcome you to another edition tonight, ladies and gentlemen, this is your Smartway Dalton Bearing and Hydraulic Tennessee basketball overtime. We talk about it with you exclusively this evening. And if you want to get in with us tonight, the number is 865-200-5402. And if you're new to what we do, what we're going to do is we'll be commercial break free. We'll get as many phone calls in as we possibly can. Jabari McGee ended tonight's game in a walking boot on his right foot. Not good. Not good. Not good. Let's, without further ado, bring Keith Hatfield in here, who helps me out on these programs with the greatest of ease. Keith Hatfield is to this program what tonight, ladies and gentlemen, Ralston Turner was to the three-point line. He's flat out nasty. Keith Hatfield, good evening to you. Tennessee falls by 11 on the road at NC State. Your thoughts?
Tony, I thought Tennessee dug himself quite a hole on a night when you have an opponent go as just completely unconscious as Ralston Turner did. Mm-hmm. When he's making shots from 2 and 3 steps behind the three-point arc, there's not a lot defensively you can do in that situation. Mm-hmm. So you tip your hat. I mean, Ralston Turner's a guy capable of doing that, doing those kind of things, shooting the ball. And I thought Tennessee let him probably get off to a little better start than they wanted to, let him get away a few times from the press in the first half. But Tennessee digs almost all the way back. And I thought, again, certainly I think Tennessee athletics should always be above moral victories, but I think you see the makings of a team that's at least going to be able to compete in league play.
Yeah, nothing I saw tonight makes me feel badly about this season going forward. The effort was there. I thought, coaching-wise, they had an okay night, although I'll say this. And I don't know with Donnie Tindall how married you are to what you're doing when you're him, but it was pretty obvious early on that out of that pressure and the press, NC State, Keith, was having their way with Tennessee. I mean, at some point you have to deviate what you're doing. They let Turner go into halftime with, what, 19 points?
Yeah, I mean, he had a huge half, certainly. And I guess that's one of the things. It certainly did cross my mind. When you've got one of the top probably handful or 10 on-ball defenders in the country, I would have at least been tempted to stick Josh Richardson on Turner for a while.
I agree.
But really, the problem there would have become that Tennessee doesn't really have the size to deal with B.J. Anya and those guys inside. So I mean, it's one of those situations where this roster is thin and has some holes. And when you try to fix one thing, you can be exploited in another direction. That's just the sad truth about this roster right now.
I'm really curious to see what the word is on McGee. Really curious to see if that was precautionary or what the deal is.
Well, and that's big too, Tony, because Tennessee, as far as I'm concerned, this stretch coming up from now till right after the first of the year, this is the biggest stretch of games Tennessee's going to play all year, because you got to win all these. I mean, you got to take care of your home court against the teams they're about to play. You can't be dumping one or two of those. Mm. So I think Tennessee, if they're going to build any kind of resume to be in a position to play in the NIT or even maybe threaten an NCAA bid, which I think is probably being a little optimistic, they're going to have to win these games.
Right here. Right in front
Absolutely.
Of them. Yep. And here's the thing. With this team, nothing is a given. That's the point I was trying to make the other day, and everybody jumped on me on the air, but the truth is, when they roll out there Friday night, they better bring the lunch pail. They better bring the focus for 40 minutes, because they're capable of beating the next five opponents, and they're really capable of losing to the next five opponents. I mean, this is very much a work in progress.
Oh, no, there are no gimmies for this team.
None.
This team is not built.
None.
Well, now I'm thoroughly convinced, Tony. It appears that Cincinnati and San Diego State are playing under nightclub lighting of some sort.
I love that. I love games like this.
What kind of lighting is that?
I love that. Look at that.
I know the Shoemaker Center is kind of a dump now, but good Lord.
That looks like Michael's back when we had Johnny Major's Appreciation Night.
That's
pretty next level.
That's darker than Mackey Arena used to be at Purdue before they redid the lights there.
Let's go to our phones if you want to get in tonight. 865-200-5402. Invite you to give us a call. Talk about tonight's game, your thoughts. Your first take, second take, third take on what you saw this evening. Who stood out to you? Give me your take here. I'd love to know what you thought. NC State tonight, 11-3 balls. Turner had 33 in the game. This is a team that the other day, had 54 points in their outing with Wofford. I mean, this is an NC State team that has not, and that is a high. By the way, they have 55 the other day. That is a high for Turner, a career high. He flat out went off tonight. And that last three he hit, Keith, was like a heat check three. That thing was like from 28 feet.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like I said, when guys are taking, you can't extend your defense out two and three and four steps behind the three-point arc to go after a guy. If he's going to make that shot, you just tip your hat, you give him the three, and you move on. I mean, there's just not much you can do about that.
Let's go to our busy phones at 865-200-5402. Hello and welcome. You are on the Smartway Dalton Behring Tennessee Basketball Overtime.
Hey, Tony. Thanks for having me tonight.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah, this was really the second game I really watched all year, mostly because of work. I haven't been able to watch a whole lot, and I think the last game I watched was the Kansas game. The few things that stood out for me, I'm going to make a few observations. I'm going to say something that you're probably not going to agree with, but, I didn't really have a whole lot of expectations going into the year. And I think, as you said, after the, Butler win, the more time that this team has together, the better they will become. And I don't really think that's going to happen this year. But I will say that tonight, some of the things that stood out to me was there's just really nothing you can do if they're going to shoot that many three balls.
Nope.
And also, they have that really big center down there. I don't even know what his name was.
Enya.
The one that was sitting, standing back-to-back with Shane Battier.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, it could. I mean, we don't have the size for that. Maybe last year we did, but not this year. So, really, you take all the fouls away at the end, the score is 74-68. And I think that's admirable, you know, playing a team like NC State. I don't really know how good NC State is, but...
They were good tonight.
Yeah, and the rest were terrible.
I
don't know. That's just a consistent theme in all of sports these days, but how you don't call a foul on the guy pushing Josh Richardson after he dunks the ball...
Bad mess.
That's it's a pure flagrant. So, in the end, you know, it is what it is, and I think, honestly, they're an NIT team.
Yeah.
And Andy Katz was on television earlier this afternoon talking about he only thought two teams would make it into the tournament from the SEC this year, and that would be Florida and Kentucky. And then he kind of bumped it up to three just to be nice, and I kind of found that comical. But that's just how bad the conference is right now.
Yeah, it's all-time bad. I mean, the last three or four years, it's ratchet. It really is. And there's no... You talk about some money that's being wasted in this league. I mean, some of the money, what they're paying for these coaches in this conference, there's a lot of coaches stealing a lot of money right now in this conference.
Right. And I'm going to end with this comment, because it's going to go into a call that I'm going to call on your show tomorrow about, because I didn't get to call in today. But, you know, one of the things that I was telling the message boards earlier in the year when Donnie Tindall was getting all these players is that I don't have any expectations for this team. I just want them to be mean. I just want teams to fear them.
They're feeding your expectation. They're meeting that one. I can tell you that.
Right. And they definitely have the dog.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you what, I bet you that these are a group of players that don't mind being called a bunch of curse words by their head coach, because it probably motivates them just a little bit. And then with that note, I'll call in tomorrow and we'll talk about...
People are... I'm not going to get off on that Butch Jones thing because I don't want to talk about it anymore, but thank you. Thanks for the call.
I want to talk about it.
Okay, we'll discuss it tomorrow. Yeah, time and place. I'll discuss it tomorrow with you. Be glad to. Call me tomorrow, okay?
All right.
Thank you, man. 865-200-5402. Let's jump back to our phones. If you want to get in with us this evening, talk about this loss. I tell you, if your expectation is this year, not win-loss wise, you want to see a tough, scrappy team, these guys got you covered. Battier's taking a beating. Hatfield on Twitter, your thoughts?
Oh, he's atrocious. I mean, tonight, he and John Saunders are just absolutely insufferable. I was hoping maybe at halftime they'd go get a room. That's not going to work for me. I'm glad they've apparently stuck those two guys on ACC games, because I can't much stomach watching the ACC anyway, so that's no great loss for me. But no. And to the officiating, I'll keep it family, but Chris Jericho aptly described Doug Shales many times over the years with some of the adjectives he would use to describe Stephanie McMahon Helmsley. He's an absolute basketball terrorist.
Bachman said tonight, who we refer to Bachman Turner Overdrive, it's a new experience for me. I'm learning the system and getting more experience playing at this level. We are getting better as a team. That from Bachman tonight. Tindall, there is no quit. There is no quit in my team. A guy makes six contested threes in a night, Turner. You give him credit for that. Bachman, we went to our press. We had to stay in it more. Had to be very active with their shooters like that. We went in and did what the coaches told us to do. We kept our heads straight up. Tindall, NC State's three guards are probably one of the top 10 backcourts in college basketball right now. Do you find that a true statement, Keith? And then we'll go back to the phones.
I'm not the world's biggest fan of Cat Barber as a point guard, but now those two wings are prodigious.
Wow.
Those two wings can put it on you. I mean, they can go stick a combined 40 on you right quick.
Yeah, they're a transfer haven too. Interesting game, isn't it? Let's go back to the phones. 865-200-5402.
I wonder if anybody's figured out yet, Tony, that Bobby Lutz is actually coaching that team. Because I saw some stuff that looked really good tonight, and I guarantee that wasn't coming from Mark Godfrey.
Hmm. Interesting. Let's go back to our phones, grab another call. Hello and welcome.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, doing great. Thank you for calling.
This is Trey in Chi-Town.
Hey, man. Good to talk to you, buddy.
Lucky enough to get the game on ESPN2 tonight. With what you were saying, that was a little... that was one of the worst crews I've seen in a while. I didn't know who it was, but they were just not very good tonight. Like, just nothing insightful. Tennessee goes on that 10-0 second half run, and they're, like, not saying anything about it. Who knows what they were talking about? We cut it from 15-5, and it's like they're not even there watching it. You know, I like to hear a little bit about Tennessee. They were just all on NC State tonight.
I would hate to get in the way of Shane Battier's conversation because he talked about himself, and they showed a player next to him. And did I tell you he played at Duke? And maybe you hadn't heard.
Oh, that was carried Shane
carried LeBron James's bags.
He carried. Yeah, I forgot about that. He did carry.
I don't know. I was kind of disappointed with the coverage there for ESPN2. But anyway, I know NC State's got their two national titles. But they're nothing like Duke or Carolina. You wouldn't expect some home cooking there. But, I mean, we were going to lose no matter what. But I am proud of the fight. And, Keith, who's number 34? Is that Bachman?
Yes.
Yes.
Bachman Turner Overdrive.
Okay. Yes, Bachman 34.
Yeah, I just wanted to note that he made a great play back there playing safety. He just made a great read. We had a trap on the far side of the court press, and it looked like the guy for NC State could have thrown it to either one, and he just read it perfectly. And that really stood out to me more than anything. I just was like, wow, what a play. Like, he just played that perfectly.
You know, it's a good point. These guys are getting, if you watch it, they're starting to get a little more instinctive, and they're starting to get it down a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. And I wasn't sure if it was Hubs there, the AI arm sleeve or whatever, but yeah, a great play by Baldwin. That was amazing. And I've just, even in the end, with 2 minutes, it was, you know, we're still knocking down threes, keeping our nose down to it, and I was just really proud of that. And my roommate said, hey, why are we still watching this? I was like, man, after Sunday's game, I'm sticking with until the end. And just closing, I just want to say that I'm very, very happy with this team, and I would much rather have a less talented team this year versus last year's than a team that they're going to give it their all no matter what in any game, which is exactly what it is. It's a much less talented team, but they've got the complete opposite mentality, and I really love that about them.
Man, that is so unbelievably well put. And here's the way I look at it. Last year's team billed themselves as a tougher breed. These guys are a tougher breed. Nobody wants any part of this. I'm telling you, these guys are no fun to play. Now, NC State at times made it look easy because they hit shots. And when you hit shots, it's going to look easy against anybody. But believe you me, it is not going to be fun for a lot of teams in our league to play this Donnie Tindall coach team. I can tell you that right now, because these guys will not quit on you.
Yep, complete opposite from last year's team on more than one level, as far as talent and as far as attitude.
Yep.
But it, obviously you can see the difference of where attitude takes you.
No doubt about it, man. Thank you, brother.
That's all I got. Thanks.
Hey, great talking to you, man. Have a good night.
Yeah, you too.
All right, up in beautiful Chi-Town.
Mississippi State loses at home to a really, really bad Arkansas State team tonight. The SEC is really, really impressive.
It really is. Nice league.
They could have, Mississippi State, when they essentially ran Stansbury out of there to hire the guy that's there now, they could have legitimately walked into any upward bound or junior pro basketball league in the state of Mississippi and gotten a better head coach.
Is that Rick Ray?
Yes.
I love that. That guy has the presence of a broom handle.
How do you interview that guy and say, this is the guy to run our basketball program?
It's
He makes Jerry Green look assertive.
It is so funny. Let's go back to our phones. 865-200-5402. Armani Mordenite with 14. Josh Richardson, by the way, the high scorer in the game. 4 Vols in double figures. The aforementioned Devin Bachman, who had 10 tonight, just doesn't look comfortable at times on the court, Keith. But he will turn it up on you offensively. He's known as being an offensive specialist. So Bachman, turner over drive. That's the name, Bachman turner over drive, when he gets a kicking. Kevin Punter tonight, 14 points and 4 boards. Josh Richardson tonight, 17 points, 3 boards, and 5 assists. Unbelievable effort from Josh Richardson tonight. And we could be nitpicky and say, well, they took a few too many goofy shots late, blah, blah, blah. You know, one of the big factors in tonight's game is that you didn't really get much inside. If you count the inside points, there weren't many to be had. And Jabari McGee tonight didn't score in the game and only finishes with a board and ends the game with a walking boot, according to ESPN, on his right leg. Did you see the play, Keith, where he got hurt?
I did not notice. I didn't notice anything in particular. I just noticed he came out of the game and didn't go back in.
865-200-5402. In the meantime, and by the way, Rick Ray just said this is as disappointing loss as we've had. Boy, that's saying
something.
He's
had plenty of them. Man, it must be a bad one. He certainly had enough of them.
That's saying something, Rick. Back to the phones we go. Oh my gosh, man. Tyndall just said, according to Ben Fredrickson at Knoxville News Sentinel on Twitter. Oh no. Might be a fifth metatarsal. That's what the team, that's what Chad thinks, Chad Newman. Could be at least 6 weeks, Keith, if that's the injury.
Oh, that just exacerbates Dominic Woodson's inability to become part of a team structure and help out, because now you're just incredibly thin up front.
When I think about Dominic Woodson, though, and where he came from and all the obstacles in life he had to overcome, it breaks your heart. You know it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just a lousy story all around.
Man. Let's go back to our phones. 865-200-5402. This is tonight your smart way, Dalton Behring and Hydraulic Tennessee Basketball Overtime, place where we talk about it. All lines are jammed. Back to our phones we go. Hello and welcome.
Tony, there's nothing funny or anything that's not painful about a broken little toe. So I'm not surprised he's going to be out 6 or 8 weeks.
No, that's brutal, man. No, on a basketball player, I mean, can you imagine a big man like that with that weight? I mean, there is just no way. That's brutal.
That hurts a lot, huh? I know that.
Tuck, can you imagine what it would feel like to be that size and have that injury?
Now, what is his exact size?
McGee? McGee goes what, Keith? About 6'8", 2 what, would you say?
He's probably 225 plus.
I mean, yeah, 225, 230.
He's by far the most muscular of the young big
Yeah,
guys.
He is. He's the most ready to play.
He's muscular. But anyway, that hurts a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not disappointed at all with the effort or anything like that. I think Tennessee did about as well as they could be expected to do at this point.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty good team they play. They're 9-2. They look like an NCAA team.
I don't think there's any doubt that that team's ticketed for the NCAA. Playing in the league they play in, with the start that they're off to, and here's the other thing. You can say, well, what about their loss to Wofford? Wofford's going to be in the NCAA tourney too, so that wasn't a horrible loss either.
Wofford may get West Virginia in about a week.
No question.
Wofford's playing some good ball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mike Young does a nice job there. They have a nice backcourt.
Tony, who's Tennessee's next opponent?
Friday night in the arena. Will you be there?
I will not. I'll be out in Vancouver.
You're in Vancouver?
Yeah.
That is amazing. Are you kidding me? You're listening to us in Vancouver?
Tony, I told you a long time ago, I love the air. I love that. It's everything to me. It's a touch of home.
Yeah, Friday night. In fact, we'll be on the air after that one. Tennessee's got a rather crowded schedule, Keith, don't they? Coming up here.
Yeah, it's kind of packed in. You get that one Saturday or Friday. You jump back in Monday.
Well, who is it?
Tennessee Tech.
Oh, okay.
The Tech Squares.
Yeah, you get three in-state schools right here in a row. You get pretty much.
It. And I like it. Yeah, I like it. I like the, I don't mind playing those teams. And of course, Mercer, a team that Tennessee played last year, in the NCAA tourney that's graduated the entire world off that team.
Right. Yeah. I mean, why would you pay Arkansas Pine Bluff a bunch of money to come in here and in a bye game when you can keep your money in your own state? That's never made any sense to me.
Tennessee has Tennessee Tech on the 19th, as you were saying, and then Mercer on the 22nd of next week. And then on the 27th, so that would be 10 days from tonight, Tennessee State in Knoxville, an 8:30 start, which is interesting. That'll be a late night for one and all.
And then it won't be on TV, will it?
Yeah, they're all televised. And then New Year's Eve, East Tennessee State in Knoxville, a 1 o'clock start. You'll want to be there for that. That will be a thriller in Manila. East Tennessee State's not horrible. Again, we're back to this. These next four have to be gotten, but if they don't keep their eye on the prize, they could drop any of them.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that after you told me what four teams it is. I think we'll win all four of those games.
Should. Absolutely should.
Yeah. I thought the boys played hard tonight, Tony, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate your show.
Hey, thank you, man. Thanks for being there.
Thank you.
That blows my mind on McGee. I mean, can we get a break here, Keith?
Not.
I mean, what the hell?
Not very often.
What the hell? You know? It's absurd.
When it rains, it pours, and it generally seems to rain a lot on the basketball program here.
Let's go back to the phones, get our next call in here. If you want to get in with us tonight, and Keith is trying to, if you hear him, it sounds like he's fading away. It's just the lights tonight in Cincinnati, and they are really, they're putting Keith in an altered state. Keith, next time, try bath salts instead of that lighting in that building.
I mean, that looks like...
That's the most absurd thing I've ever seen. I mean, let's just call it what it is.
I'm hoping some cameraman has just screwed up the filter of his camera or something, and that's not really the ambiance and color in the building.
That can't be. That's like that gym they play in at VCU. That thing looks like a whiteout. That white light, that's the worst looking thing I've ever seen. Back to our phones we go. Go ahead.
That may be Mick's way. He's been screaming they need a new building, so maybe this is how Mick tries to get one.
Interesting. Back to our phones we go. And no, tonight we will not be talking about Jalen Hurd. That is silly. I don't acknowledge it. He's a college kid, and they drink. Hello. Welcome to the show.
Tony.
Yes, hello,
Tony,
welcome.
Keith, it's Smitty. How are you doing?
Hey, Smitty. What's
hey,
going
Smitty.
On, man?
Not a whole lot. I want to give a quick shout-out to Taylor and Ellison. I know they're listening out there. But real quick, you know, I love Donnie Tindall. I think he is a... great X's and O's coach. I think he may be probably one of the best, overall coaches that Tennessee's ever had. Just by looking at what we have now, what's on that roster, it's a fresh roster, it's a young roster, putting it up against what Bruce Pearl had when he came in and what he was able to recruit in there. I think that the overall coaching job so far by Donnie Tindall has been great, and it would definitely rival what Bruce Pearl did in his first couple of years, as far as coaching goes, not looking at records. I was real pleased in the effort tonight. I thought they did a good job. I mean, you know, what can you do when a guy is shooting
that,
you know, shots from mid-half court, mm-hmm. making three-pointers? I mean, Ralston Turner had a great game. If you can only imagine what Ralston Turner would be doing at LSU and how good they would be with him, you know, there's no telling. But
how does he get away? What's that all about?
You know, I don't know. If Ralston Turner's at LSU, they've got a really good basketball team this year, putting Johnny Jones aside. But as far as talent on the court, they'd have a phenomenal team. But I really don't know. But I'm really pleased with how well Donnie's done this year. I don't think I've called in after a basketball game, but I really love what he can do. I really hope that we can keep him. I don't see that in the future, but if there's
Why don't
a way
you see that?
Push and keep this guy.
Oh, no, let me tell you something. The big money people in this town in the last 2 weeks, I'll just tell you this right now, as I talked to a guy today. The big money people in this town, they want to keep him.
I completely understand why. I mean, everybody can see it. I hope that everybody can realize that. You know, and I went to the Butler game, and I will sure as hell be going to the Tennessee Tech game this week there on Friday.
It's fun, you know, basketball, isn't it?
It's great. It's fun to go watch. You know, you look at who's on the floor, and you see that they're young and mm-hmm. stuff like that. But they're never out of it.
Mm-mm.
I mean, the game tonight, you know, they should have. I think they were down by 6 with about 1:30 left, if I'm not mistaken. And they were the NC State bench. You could tell that there was a little bit of concern there because Tennessee was not done. I mean, they just weren't done. They weren't giving up on the game, and I'm always impressed with each call out of a timeout. It just was, you look at the plays out of a timeout, and you can always tell how good a coach is outside of a timeout. And every play, it seems like we're able to convert. And that always catches my eye. And I really like that. It's a little different than Konzo. Konzo ran about the same play every play out of a timeout or every baseline, you know, inbounds pass. It looked like it was the same play. But this team's got a lot of upside. I think that the more that they keep growing and learning, the more we said they keep going. Even losses like this are great learning experiences for this team because I think that they don't look at it as a downside. I think they look at it as a way to keep learning. I think that's what Donnie has in their head. This team's bought in, man. I mean, they bought into what he's doing and what that coaching staff wants to do. You know, what's left of that coaching staff, and they're gonna do it. I mean, it's awesome stuff. I'm not disappointed at all by the loss. You know, what can you do? Those guys shot lights out and, you know, people can blame it on the defense all they want, but that's the defense in the press that they're going to run, and there's going to be games like that this season. I mean, every game's going to be a tough game. I mean, I think that these UT games that they got coming up, there's going to be a couple close ones, but that's just the way it is with this team this year.
Really, really going to be something to watch this unfold, because the truth is Tennessee is a lot like this Auburn team I'm watching right now. Auburn got up big. And I'm watching this game on SEC Network right now on Winthrop. And they were up 15, 16 points. It's a five-point game, and Winthrop's about to make it 3 with 4.5 to go in the half. I guess my point is their talent deficit there at Auburn. Now, they have a better team material-wise than Tennessee does. Donnie Tindall's done a much better coaching job than Bruce Pearl has done so far this year. I know the Pearlinistas don't want to hear that.
No, I agree.
I mean, a much better coach. It is not even close. I mean, the level of win that Tennessee has so far on this year is super duper impressive. I mean, they're 4-4, but they've got some legit wins. These are not Konzo Martin early season wins so far. They've had some legitimate wins.
The strength of schedule between Auburn and Tennessee.
It's not even close.
It's not even close.
Grand Canyon.
And I'll be the first person to go out and say this. I mean, I know we're 8 games in, but like I said earlier, the overall coaching goes to Donnie Tindall. Pumping players up may go, that goes to Bruce Pearl.
No doubt about it. Yeah, he's
that's what he was good at.
Yeah, he would have been a great cult leader, you know? I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
Seriously. Because he'd get you to drink it. I mean, whatever you wanted him to do, you would do it for him. But thank you, Smitty. Great call tonight. Hatfield, your thoughts on Smitty's call? I let Smitty go. He's very passionate. Go ahead.
Now, to do something that I don't think that will probably surprise people, in Bruce's defense,
yeah,
they've got some talent, and not every one of them are lousy kids or psychopaths.
That's what you told me before the year.
Well,
you said it's like a grand experiment, right?
Well, I think what he tried to do was he tried to recreate that whole first year magic he had here and jumpstart the thing and took a bunch of guys that just quite frankly, having one or two on your team might be okay, but you load up with four or five of those guys, it's going to look like it's looked for them most of the year.
I mean, they are finishing this half with so little effort. They are like, it's unbelievable how he's screaming right now. I mean, screaming at Bowers, screaming at him. He made zero effort to get back. I mean, Pearl is like appalled. That first year team he had here was a dream, Keith. That first year team he had here was a dream.
Well, and look, the one thing, if you're going to play the style of basketball that Pearl's going to play and has decided he wants to get back to now, you better have guys that give effort or you're going to get run out of the gym every night. Because if you're half-stepping in that press, people are going to be shooting a lot of dunks and layups on you.
Back to the phones we go. If you want to get in, all lines are currently jammed. Tennessee basketball overtime this evening. In case you haven't heard, Jabari McGee, fifth metatarsal, injury of some sort. According to the preliminary, they're going to get him back in Knoxville. Obviously, check him out. Donnie Tindall saying that could be a 6-week ordeal. 6 weeks, that takes you into late January. That's a pretty decent chunk of your early season in the Southeastern Conference. And if you look at it, you're talking about the likes of you'd miss at Mississippi State, you'd miss Alabama here, you'd miss Arkansas here, you would miss at Missouri, you would miss at South Carolina, probably get him back somewhere around the time of the game on the 24th, if in fact that is the injury with Texas A&M, then a trip to Arkansas, and then the home game with Auburn here on the 31st, which is a noon start for some reason. Could that be any worse, a noon start? Good gosh.
Oh, I'm sure I'm sure ESPN knows it's probably going to be an atrocious-looking game, but they certainly wanted to get it on their air.
What about 7 o'clock at night? I mean, 1 o'clock?
Oh, I'm sure that'll be Duke, Carolina, or something like that.
Oh,
yeah.
Good point. Back to our phones we go. Hello and welcome. You're on the Smart Way, Dalton Behring and Hydraulic, Tennessee Basketball Overtime.
Hey, guys, it's Bert.
Hey, Bert, great to hear from you.
Yeah. Once again, they've got great effort, and this team's not going to quit. They've showed that. And it's like you said earlier, the big money people, they need to keep him.
They love this guy. Hey, he is winning these people over, man. I mean to tell you, I give that guy some credit because he's doing some work in this community. He is doing some work.
Yeah, that's right. He's funny. I enjoy watching him on the side or, on the court there watching him. He gets with. In fact, I think he's going to receive the ball one day for going across the line.
He reminds me of Bruce Pearl early in his tenure so much here. From the way he's just living and dying with it, he's getting into guarding positions. It is highly comical watching that guy.
Yeah. Hey, I appreciate the show. Love listening to y'all. Everything.
Thank you, Bert. Man, so glad to talk to you.
Thanks, Bert.
Good to hear from you. Bert's a great story. God, what a great story he is. Winthrop's cut that game to 31-30. I'm telling you, Hatfield.
SBC, man. Oh, good heaven.
Keith, instead of having our commissioner and his assistant commissioner take over basketball as they have and the scheduling as they're trying to get this league back up to speed, shouldn't they make it a government program? I mean, is it that big a waste of money at this point?
Well, you look across this league. Now, granted, you've got a couple of situations. I honestly think if the NCAA stuff doesn't go badly here, Coach Tindall will do a good job here, and I think Kim Anderson will eventually, once he gets some players, do a good job of Missouri. But just, well, I think we had this discussion a while back. Look at the coaches in the Big 12 right now, the basketball coach.
Yep.
Who coaches the two worst teams? Tubby Smith and Trent Johnson have the two worst teams in that league. When that's the guy's coaching your worst teams, that should tell you something.
This team,
more than half that league's been to a Final Four. More than half the coaches in that league have been to a Final Four, Tony. You think Rick Ray's going to a Final Four anytime soon?
Rick? Rick Ray! Rick Ray couldn't get to the Final Four of the CBI if you put him in the Elite Eight of that tournament, Keith.
You could give him a bye
to the Elite Eight, and he'd get the hell beat out of him by Colgate
Or Santa Clara would pick him off. Because now Keating dominates those tournaments.
Slickmo said, I broke my fifth metatarsal on my left foot. It'll be 10 weeks before he plays again.
Well, if it's going to be anywhere near that, I think you've got to get in a position where you start looking at your options as far as a medical red shirt or anything at that point. Because if he's not going to be back, if that ends up being the timeline, I don't see. And then you got, even if he can play on it in that many weeks, he's not going to remotely be in game shape.
Back to our phones we go. Mike Palmer tonight, Battier must have graduated from the Chris Collingsworth School of Broadcasting. Talk incessantly about when you played. So much about those guys. Wow. Back to the phones we go.
Oh, you know what I would like to hear them talk about during that Duke-UConn game they shoved down everybody's throat this week? Let's talk about Corey McGetty and Myron Piggy and some of that stuff.
No, it doesn't exist.
Let's talk about that.
Most people listening right now have no idea what you're talking about. Why? Because the media won't cover it.
It's very simple.
Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Basilio and Hatfield. How are you tonight?
Hey, how are you tonight, man?
Doing well.
I was at the NC State game on Sunday, and, I think NC State's guard play, I think, is pretty strong. Their post play is young and serviceable at best. And, they ended up out-rebounding Penn State by 9. And so, NC State is probably the 8th to 10th best team in the ACC, And so I think UT played hard. I love the effort, and I want them to really – I was hoping they'd work the ball inside a little bit more than they did tonight. And just kind of something interesting, NC State on Friday beat Charleston Southern by 35. Wofford struggled with Charleston Southern tonight and won by 5. And that same Charleston Southern team beat Ole Miss earlier in the year. I agree with Hatfield. The SEC, you look at the coaches in the SEC, and you compare them to the Big 12, it's just crazy. This college basketball to me is you've got to have these strong personality coaches, and right now we don't have that in the SEC.
You look at the salaries these guys are making. Here's to the point. Keith, do you know what that team that Mississippi State lost to tonight? And Gary, do you know what that team's RPI is?
Well, either it's probably of you, 300.
It would be 300 or lower.
How about 330? And you lost to them in your gym tonight. You should get asked a question.
Immediately.
Immediately.
And that dang you know, Charleston Southern beating Ole Miss.
That's immediately.
Just ridiculous.
Immediately.
Oh, this league is stacking losses to low major conference teams like Cordwood.
Oh God!
I mean, they're stacking them up, man. That's why. Like I said, Tennessee's got to win these next four.
Yeah, they do. They do. And ETSU is deep. You know, they got a kid from Carter that's good. They're decent.
I like that kid from Carter. Yep.
My gosh, he can jump out.
He can play. You better believe it. He's an athlete.
But I think Tennessee plays hard. I love this style. I hate Richardson at point. You know, I think he needs to be at two guard just so he can get more shots off. But they don't have any other point guard they can go to.
No. And now with Jabari McGee. And with Woodson out, there are so few options. Keith, what happens now? Who gets the bulk of the minutes? Who has to step up now?
I think you have to force feed Tarik Owens minutes now. I don't think there's any other place to go.
And he's so little.
Carmichael, they'll try to feed Carmichael the minutes, and then he'll immediately foul the minutes.
I like him because when he enters the game, he's the only guy in NCAA basketball that begins the game with three fouls in the foul column.
I think he fouled the timekeeper on the way to the floor.
I'm telling you. Jeff Jarnigan better watch out. He's going to get mugged Friday night going into the arena. Carmichael's going to knock him to the floor.
I mean, he gets after it. And that's the problem. Then you're going to be forced to play Derek Reese in the post and all kinds of things that you just don't want to do.
Oh.
Wow.
Well, thank you. We appreciate your show.
Thank you, brother. Great talking to you. Love you, man.
See you soon.
Love your support. Thank you. And speaking of support, I really want to thank my friends at Smartway and also Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics. And I want to say for Smartway, you need to check them out. Go online. Go to gosmartway.net and you'll find everything for your home there where you can pay your way. They're located at 8416 Kingston Pike. They're near Bearden High School. And, when you go on their site, and you can also take a virtual tour, you'll realize why we say, be smart, buy smart, and go the smart way. And Professor Smarty tells no lies. He tells no lies. Professor Smarty has you covered. And they're changing the way people buy things. You short on funds? Great way to go. They have 120 days or six months same as cash. And for items greater than $9.99, if you buy something 120 day or less, pay the retail price amount within the first 6 months. That's all you're going to pay. You're done and you own it. You can also buy your deal outright, walk out with it, and let it roll. They have lease purchase plans. You choose the amount you want to pay. And how often you want to make the payment. And you can amend the agreement at any time. And Smartway is really revolutionizing the way folks do business. Check them out online. GoSmartway.net. They have furniture, appliances, electronics, cell phones. Even have tires there. So Smartway is really doing some interesting, very good things. I've heard a lot of great things about Smartway from people. And I'm proud to have them with us. What should we call Rick Ray? We need to get a nickname for that guy. I mean, we can heckle guys on our own bench. We've got Big Gulp on our bench.
I mean, well, one thing you'll be calling Rick Ray pretty soon is an assistant coach somewhere.
No question. 338 in the RPI. Brian Hartman said there might be 350 teams in the Division I. Is that right?
I want to say with provisionals and stuff, I want to say the number's around mid-340s, maybe up to 350, somewhere in that. Yeah, it's in that range. You're pretty much completely underwater.
Back to the phones we go.
Is John Brady still there?
They've been so bad for so long. Back to the phones we go. Hello and welcome, Smartway, Dalton Bearing and Hydraulic, fifth quarter fan reaction.
What's going on, Hatfield? This is GQF.
Hey,
hey, what's up, G?
Hey, I'll tell you what, Tony, you need to rename that Dalton Hydraulics and whatever you got it named. You need to rename it Dalton Hydraulics and a party with Professor Smarty.
There you go. It's the Professor Smarty party.
There you go. That's what I meant to say. You worded it better. I love me some Professor Smarty.
Mm-hmm.
I'm his biggest fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what, I'm a big Donnie Tindall fan. Guys, I'll tell you what, I enjoyed watching this game tonight, even though we lost. I enjoyed watching that game more than any UT football game I watched all year.
It's your prerogative.
And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I'm not trying to be a smart ass or anything. I'm being honest. You know, we played so hard, and we just had a guy just shoot us out of the ball game.
No question.
We just had that guy just shot us out of the ball game, and, you know, and we still fought to the end. And, you know, we whittled it down to, what, 6-7 points there at the end. And I'm excited about this team. Here's what discourages me. I don't like these people calling up and saying, oh, we're an NIT team. I still say, as bad as the SEC is, that, and well, let's back up here a minute. Guys, do you have any idea how bad Jabari McGee is hurt?
Yeah, he's out 6 weeks. We were talking about it. Well, we don't know that. Donnie Tindall said after the game he thinks it's a fifth metatarsal, and if it is, he projects that'll be a six-week injury.
Metatarsal, what part of the body is that in, Tony? I'm not a doctor.
That's your foot.
Okay.
That's a bone in your foot.
Well, that's a shame because I'll tell you what, he's been out playing Willie Carmichael.
Yes, he has.
And pretty much everybody on the front line, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And I pretty much thought he was the most pleasant surprise we've had. What do you think, Keith?
Oh, I think as a guy, I think he's certainly by far the most game ready of the three young big guys. I think other than he's had trouble with fouls too, but as far as the time he's been on the floor, he's obviously been the most comfortable and the most physically ready to compete of the group.
But, and what else? Well, somebody else said something that irritated me.
No doubt, me.
The guy that said Tindall's definitely gone at the end of the year. That irritates me. I mean,
that was one good thing about having Battier and Saunders doing the game tonight. They're so in love with the sounds of their own voices speaking about themselves. They never mentioned Tindall's NCAA problems.
Not one time.
Not once.
Not even for a second.
Well, that's good, but I'll tell you what, Keith, and I want to know what you feel about my opinion on this. I think, barring a three-year show cause, I don't care if I give him 1 year or 2 years, I think we got to stick with this guy because I think if we lose him and it shows that UT's administration is not going to stand behind any of their basketball coaches, I think when we go to, I just think it's going to be like the death penalty that SMU suffered in football back when Eric Dickerson and Craig James came out of there.
It's really tough to envision how you keep a program rolling with your head coach off the road recruiting for a couple of years. But if it's nothing more, put it this way, if it's nothing more than Frank Haith got, which is a slap on the wrist and a 5-game suspension. If they fire Donnie Tindall for something like that, they've lost their ever-loving mind.
Well, Keith, let me ask you this. I mean, say he gets a show cause, and instead of keeping him around like we should have kept Bruce Pearl around, and you go through 3 years of mediocrity, and you have to start over again. I mean, how much better off are you?
Oh, I totally, we agree with that. Here's the other thing, and thanks, Jake. The other thing about this guy is you're not going to do better than him. I mean, that's it. And the other thing is, this is my concern, and this is strictly my concern, because I've seen it here. We will go and get a guy that will make the paper that I'm writing on seem exciting.
Well, that's the Tennessee way in basketball, Tony.
No doubt about it.
Well, that's the greatest example in the history of the world of that.
They will
go from Wade Houston to Kevin O'Neill.
You know who they're going to be willing? Rick Ray.
Exactly. We'll go find the next Rick Ray,
who literally has the presence of a mop.
That actually will probably be what they tell the search firm to do for them, is find them the next Rick Ray. But, you know, he's got a level of expertise and knowledge that none of the rest of us have, Tony.
Back to the phones we go.
And apparently a cache of Al Davis's old jumpsuits.
Interesting. Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402. If you'd like to get in with us tonight, I do want to remind you, portions presented by Dalton Behring and Hydraulic. You know, over 350,000 AC and DC hydraulic cylinders and power units this year, they've moved out of Little Granger County, home of Skylar McBee. Can you believe that? And A.W. Davis, the late, great A.W. Davis, the Rutledge rifle. Number one source. Whether you're looking for standard stock, off the shelf, custom hydraulic cylinders, power units, they've got it. And anything that turns and makes mobile components work, they have. At Dalton Behring and Hydraulics. Say it, know it, write it down. Dalton Behring and Hydraulics, online at daltonhydraulic.com. Back to the phones we go. Hello and welcome. You're on the Smart Way, Dalton Behring and Hydraulic, fifth quarter fan reaction / basketball overtime.
Hey, Tony. Hey, Keith. How's it going?
Hey.
Going well.
Hey, this is Taylor. How y'all doing?
Hey, Tay. Great talk to you, man.
Doing great.
Thank you.
Good. First off, I want to give a shout out. I watched the game with Smitty Ellison at Smoky Mountain Brewery. Great food, great service, as always.
Yeah, support a sponsor.
Yeah, absolutely. And first thing I want to say, Tony, I'm a big basketball fan. Basketball has always been in my heart. Football's probably number one, but basketball's number 1B. I've been going to games since Buzz Peterson, and at the beginning of the year, I really wasn't excited at all about this team. You know, with the NCAA stuff, I really didn't want to get emotionally invested in this team at all.
Mm-hmm.
But after watching this team play, how can you not be emotionally invested in them? You know, these guys play incredibly hard. I went to the Butler game, and that was one of the best basketball games I've been to. I went to a lot of the Konzo games. That was one of the best basketball games I've been to in a long time. These guys, we thought they played hard under Konzo, you know, their first or second year or whatever. These guys truly play hard, for Donnie. And I agree with all the callers before. I agree with you. We've got to do whatever we have to do to keep Donnie as our coach. We have to, because we're not going to do better than him. We're not. It's that simple.
I'll tell you what I'm doing, and I know some people in town who help me, you know, some major player types, whatever, what have you. I'm spreading the word. That is exactly what I'm telling people. And whether I have any say or not, because I don't, but I'm using my voice. I can tell you that right now. And I would encourage anybody listening to me that feels the same way to use your voice.
I completely agree. I'm glad, I guess, that we missed out on Michael White. I don't know how he would have done, but, you know, Donnie Tindall, that guy just gets, you know, there's something to say about a coach that gets his guys to play that hard for him. And it's a great feeling when you know tonight we were down double digits, but our entire table, we didn't leave. We thought we were in the game the entire time because we thought we were in this game after watching the Butler game, after watching the Kansas game, after all the games we've watched. You can't give up on this team because they just play their butts off for this guy. One thing that I would like to see, though, is I would love, and I like Keith's opinion on this, I would like to see Josh get a little more aggressive in the first half instead of waiting until the second half. He did in the Butler game, and it was okay during the Butler game. But I'd like to see Josh get a little more aggressive in the first half until, you know, when we're not down double digits. And I'd like to hear what Keith thinks on that.
Well, I think he's trying. I think what he's trying to do is he's trying to facilitate for his teammates and everything early and get everybody involved. And that's always, I mean, Josh has always been an unselfish player in that way. I think at some point, Donnie's got to sit down with him and just say, look, Josh, you got to go out and get, you got to go out and take 18 to 20 shots a night for us. You got to go get us 18 to 20 points a night. We can't win with you taking the first.